Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And with the announcement of Apple Card, card issuers need to recognize that this new experience could become the new normal experience in how consumers expect to be issued cards. For issuers, this can create a huge opportunity. So to talk about that opportunity, I have Bhagavan Vaduver, who is the CEO of Ondot Systems, and Aaron McPherson, who is the VP of Research Operations at Mercator Advisory Group. Now, this episode was recorded at the Money 2020 event, and there's certainly a lot of great insights and data to take away from this. So without any further delay, let's start the show. All right, gentlemen, so thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. And we're really going to be kind of taking a look at Apple Card here, and not necessarily the card itself, but the kind of the new user experience and onboarding process that it's kind of brought into the market. So the first question, kind of high level here. So is Apple Card more than just a card store for Apple Music, iCloud, etc.?
In broad brushstrokes, yes. So I think this is really the first time a tech giant that anchors its entire existence on understanding consumer experience is getting into a payment card issuer space. So I think it is much more than that. I think it has the potential to redefine how consumers view their interaction with payment cards. Whether or not Apple gains a significant market share or not, I think the fundamental point is I think they've established a new normal. So I think it's pretty big.
Yeah, Ryan, from our point of view at Mercator, the big innovations with Apple Card are the seamless application process, very, very expedited instant issuance to the wallet, the clear mobile-first orientation in that you really only get the 2% rewards or higher if you're using it as a tap-and-go transaction or in the future through their e-commerce buy button. So you're actually disincented to use the much touted titanium card because that only pays 1%, which is pretty much no better than the average. I think another thing that's distinctive about it, a lot of people have talked about the daily cash, and I think that creates a level of engagement where you're thinking about the card every day. The weaknesses of that, though, is that it largely stays within Apple's walled garden. So you can really only use it seamlessly with App Store or iTunes transactions or in-app purchases. You can transfer it to a bank account, but it's cumbersome. So it is kind of like a store card in many ways. You get the best rewards from shopping at Apple or one of its merchant partners like Uber. But then in terms of the rewards, you're really incented to use those within Apple. So it's in a way somewhat of a directional pointer for merchants who are doing store cards and might want to have integration into their wallets.
No, excellent. Thank you for that. Now, Aaron, if I could stay with you here for our next question, can you explain to our audience Apple's challenge of interoperability with Quicken and PFM tools?
Yeah, so along the same lines of the rewards program, although Apple Card has very, very nice spend analysis tools within the wallet, those tools don't export anywhere. So, for example, I can't download my transactions to Quicken because Goldman Sachs has no interface. I assume that's coming at some point, but right now I have to actually go print out my statement and manually enter the transactions, which is not exactly the kind of user experience I was hoping for. So I think, you know, and this is probably because it's the first generation of the product, but right now it is kind of off in its own space, as Apple often does.
I think to a large extent this is irrelevant. And the reason is I don't think that is the actual purpose of even showing the PFM. I think it's just about engagement. If you are one of the few percentage points of the entire cardholder base that cares about doing really fancy analytics on your card, I don't think that's the target. I think the entire point about this is a very visceral feel for the average cardholder who just wants to use their card and sort of go about their day-to-day business. This is providing a really amazing look and feel. And even when you look at the colors as an example, if you're the type who actually wants to dissect your spend, those colors are extremely confusing.
But that's not the point.
No, excellent. I think that, that's certainly a great visual here. But now, when we take a look at kind of the pressures that this is putting on the industry, from your standpoint, what does the introduction of Apple Card put on smaller financial institutions in particular?
It has established a new normal. Right from the point of making acquisition really, really simple to providing a spectacular initial experience. Some of these things are gimmicky, but it doesn't matter. Because it really changes, and it appeals, I think, more to the visceral sense or the emotional sense of connection than it does to an intellectual sense of any kind of connection or dissecting, you know, what your card can do, right? And I think they do that spectacularly well, and they've just replicated that. Now, if you think about financial institutions, it's fair to say in broad brushstrokes that this industry has not, over many decades, distinguished itself in terms of being or really understanding a typical consumer behavior and catering to it. There's a lot of arcane things that happen. That's changing dramatically. But I think this puts pressure in a way that is unprecedented because it's not just Apple. You're going to have a lot of tech giants that are coming into this issuer space. And if you have any doubt that it's going to change, just ask Nokia and Motorola and BlackBerry what happened to phones, right? So issuers have to respond to it. And my sense is that it is a significant threat for large issuers. It is an existential threat for smaller ones. And the reason is I might not get rid of my Bank of America card or my Chase card, but I might very well completely replace my secondary or tertiary card. So I think it is an existential crisis, and smaller issuers had better think of it that way. So the long and short of it is, what can they do? Well, they need to be able to provide an equivalent solution. Because as I heard, you know, somebody say this recently, it's much easier for Fin to add tech than for tech to add Fin. So I think to that extent, people are still more comfortable storing their money with banks or credit unions. And therefore, it is easier for banks and credit unions, card issuers, to provide the kind of meaningful digital capabilities to compete or excel relative to Apple.
Yeah, I think in general, smaller financial institutions are pressured to match the mobile experiences and the online experiences provided by the large issuers. So this is just another area in which they have to compete. But on the other hand, I think they have an advantage in that their development times, their decision-making times are typically much shorter. So I think that they can innovate in this area more quickly than the large issuers, and they don't have as much investment to sacrifice in terms of building their own mobile experience. They're probably using a third-party solution, so you can integrate more easily into that than if you're having to add capability to something you've built in-house.
That's a great point, and if I may, I'd like to add something to what Aaron just said, which is really a good point here. You know, it is easy to think about this as putting the smaller financial institutions on the defensive. But in some ways, it's also an amazing opportunity to innovate and differentiate, because there is now public perception of what good looks like. And I think just with faster decision-making times, if the smaller financial institutions can partner with the right fintechs, I think they'll be able to catch the draft of the popular mood and focus, and over the next couple, 3 years, really innovate in a card space, which typically has been the realm of larger financial institutions. So for the most part in payments, innovation trickles down from large to banks to smaller institutions. I think this is an opportunity to change that.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree with all the points made there. Now, when it comes to Apple in their messaging that they have here, nothing that they do is a mistake. Everything is extremely intentional in what it is that they say. So I'm curious to get your opinion in terms of Apple Card's messaging around clean merchant data and why you think it is that Apple is pushing that so much on their end.
Oh, because I think it's one of the most frustrating things about my card today, right? I go to Chevron and I see some CSI, some, you know, arbitrary number, or I go to a vending machine when I travel, I'm in Chicago, and suddenly it shows up as Malvern, Pennsylvania. It's really frustrating. So I think cleansing merchant data, I think, is really critical. And from what we understand, a typical financial institution finds queries associated with confusing or wrong data, merchant data, as one of the top three reasons for calls, and also the associated false chargebacks are substantial. So I think if a financial institution can A, cleanse the merchant data, and B, provide the right kind of information and manageability around it, so they can reduce both the number of service calls and the number of false chargebacks. So I think that's really critical. I would sense, this is just my hypothesis, that Apple might not just be driven by the financial value. One of our largest global top 10 customers did a study on the merchant data enrichment capability that OnDot has, and they found that it can improve net promoter score by 13 points. I think that, in other words, the excitement that customers or cardholders feel in terms of seeing a much cleaner and sort of enriched transaction detail is at least as much a driver as reduction in chargebacks and service costs.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that we recognize that Apple is actually a minority of market share in the United States and even more across the world. So all of this stuff doesn't work on Android. And so if you're a card issuer, ideally you want a solution that will work in both places. And I think a lot of the large issuers have gotten better in terms of their online interfaces, in terms of cleaning up the merchant data, providing you more details like where the charge was made, which Apple Card does, in avoiding a lot of these calls. But a lot of this experience can be reproduced on Android, including the deep wallet integration, which I think is one of the challenges on iOS. So I would encourage issuers to think, how can we bring an experience like this to Android and ultimately have an impact on more of our customers that way?
As I was talking about, in terms of like Apple's marketing message that they put out there, nothing that they do is by mistake. And another message that I really want to point on that you see in a lot of their advertising, especially their TV commercials, is that, hey, here is a product that is designed not by a bank when it comes to the card. Now, that seems very interesting in terms of that they would specifically call that out. Why do you think that is?
By the way, you made the comment twice. So my sense is it's true, nothing they do is by mistake, but even when they put consumers through a lot of pain, people put up with it. So it's almost an axiom that nothing they do is by mistake. Sometimes what they do can be incredibly frustrating because I don't think they want to play nice with the ecosystem. They want to create it. And I think that's exactly what they've tried to do here. I think they're playing on the typical broad brushstroke consumer perception that banks don't get consumer interaction. Let's give you one example. You look at a typical mobile banking app, it's got so much stuff in it. It's really hard to find out what you want when you want it. As an example, if I lose my card and I want to turn it off, I might have to go four levels down, right? So I think banks have, to some extent, confused feature functionality for providing convenience and clarity to consumers. And I think somebody like Apple gets it, and they're going to basically come and play on it and say, look, your bank is just stuffing more and more features in a generic app. We are giving you something that's purpose-built, right? So I think that's a critical aspect that they are working through. That's a part of the general messaging anyway, right? So sleek design and understanding security, clarity, and transparency. That's really their motto, and I think they're just bringing that to payment cards. I would say it's not that this cannot be replicated. So that's an important point. Apple's marketing message is great, but I think issuers who've traditionally not thought of themselves as being designer gurus can now actually innovate and create that. So you have the opportunity to say, I'm going to create a set of tools, consumer tools, let's say mobile banking apps and online portals for my accounts. And now I'm going to create a separate set of tools, a card app as an example, for my cardholders that really talks to consumers in the moment, provides the right kind of in-the-moment experiences, and hopefully we'll talk about how you can not just emulate Apple but leapfrog them. And I certainly have some ideas on that I'd like to share. But I think Apple has, the issuers have the ability to provide these in-the-moment experiences and now create card products that really matter to consumers.
Well, I think when they say designed by Apple, not a bank, part of the message is not just the user experience, but also things like the no fees, which are there for a good reason. I mean, to a certain extent, a bank wouldn't design a card this way because it wouldn't make sense. And I think we need to have a year or two to see what the charge-off rates are like, you know, whether they can sustain this model. Because I think one thing we often see with fintechs is a sort of a ignorance about how the industry works. So they may do things that get them in trouble and then have to retrench. You see this quite often. So we need to separate out the parts that are perhaps not sustainable from the parts that are going to have a real impact on the industry going forward. And I think that's more the application experience, the user experience on the device, and the mobile-first design. That's the kind of thing that I would think banks would want to emulate. I don't know that they want to emulate the rest of it.
I agree, and to some extent, I don't even want to get hung up in the specific features, because if you just look at the evolution of the iPhone over the past 6-7 years, you know that they change stuff drastically. If it doesn't work, they're just going to alter it completely. So I don't think we should get hung up on the individual features. I think it's the overall consumer sentiment that matters. This is a card that is designed different, that looks different, the initial experience is different. It's really trying to establish this new normal and potentially hitting a different or new type of demographic. And the challenge for incumbent financial institutions is to combat that overall sentiment and compete on that basis.
I want to get back to the point that you had made in terms of, okay, meeting Apple in terms of doing that and then potentially leapfrogging them in that. So walk us through that experience. You know, what does that mean to you?
Excellent. Yeah. So this is very close to my heart and goes back to the same point of, I think Fin can add tech much faster than tech can add Fin. I'll give you a couple of examples. So as a consumer, I don't necessarily think about my payment card all the time, right? It's a means to an end. I want to conduct commerce. I want to purchase goods. As a part of that, payment is one activity, right? So I think it makes a lot of sense for an issuer to anticipate user needs and then guide user action. Kind of like a map application does, right? A financial map. So if I, in a map, it knows where I am. I say where I want to go. It plots the route. Along the way, if there's a better route, it tells me, and I'm allowed to make the decision, right? So I think apps have to kind of become like that. In that context, it's not just about, you know, clarity and convenience. I think there are meaningful financial services. So let me give you a couple of examples. And these in the moment, or these moment of truth experiences, could be moment of convenience, could be a moment of tension, or could be a moment of delight. So as an example, if my card got declined, let's say a debit card got declined because of insufficient funds, that's a moment of tension. However, if I, as a consumer, haven't signed up for overdraft coverage or overdraft protection, in the moment, the bank can actually figure that out, the issuer can figure that out, send me a notification and say, hey, do you want to, you qualify, would you like to sign up? I say, okay. And then I say, okay, now retry the transaction. Now, that's a case where you transfer a moment of, or transform a moment of tension into a moment of comfort. This requires financial instruments, right? So overdraft coverage, providing meaningful offers, installment pay offers. There are a number of financial offers that I think can be presented in the moment that I think can really transform a consumer's card experience, very different from how it is today. And I think banks and credit unions are much better equipped to provide these kinds of services. And as you can just see, Apple doesn't provide any of this. So that would be leapfrogging today.
All right. And so for our last question here, you know, given the margin squeeze issuing banks are facing in the U.S., what opportunities are available for financial institutions to lower cost or to save time with their card programs?
Good ones. So I think we can sort of look at it in maybe along five dimensions. The first one is acquisition cost. I think rather than going through a cumbersome, let's say, legacy acquisition process, lots of banks have already started looking at digital customer onboarding. But I think Apple, as an example, for those customers that it already knows, has really streamlined that to 45 seconds or a minute. I think there are solutions out there, including from OnDot, that can allow a bank to onboard a new customer digitally within just a few minutes, less than five. Issue a card, get them, push that into a wallet, and get them operational right away. So I think that initial acquisition process, you can easily cut between $40 to $50. That's the first part. The second key aspect is one of usage. So at the end of it, it's all about driving consumer usage. Not only does it drive direct revenue in terms of interchange, but also, you know, the interest revenue, but critically also pull through revenue. So I think if you're able to provide an engaging service, just from Ondot's own experience, our solutions have driven usage by 23%. So, and that's across a study spanning 13 months, hundreds of banks. So we know it's not an isolated incident. I think the third key aspect is service cost. And this is just across the board. We all know that when you have to, if you have to call a bank, not only is it a pain for the consumer, it's cost for the bank. Anything that gives self-service capabilities at the customer's fingertips helps the bank and the consumer. And I think that's a clear way. And we've seen a reduction in about 26% in service cost because of you know, meaningful digital capabilities that can be appropriate for consumers in the moment. And I think the last key piece is reduction in fraud and false declines. So by understanding the customer footprint, you can create patterns so you know when a transaction is in pattern and out of pattern. If you can reduce both fraud, let's say by about 30%, as well as false declines, even by about 20%, I think the net result of all of this is quite substantial. And I think it not only does it change the increase in value per customer by about 50 to 60 bucks a year, the lifetime value also increases because the lifetime of that customer increases. We have seen evidence of
that. Yeah, I think there are several features of the Apple Card that issuers should take into account when they're looking to save money. First of all is maybe you don't need a plastic card. Like if you get someone signed up and you instantiate it in the wallet, and oh, by the way, while you're doing it, make sure they put it top of wallet. Now you're the default card. Let them request the plastic card if they really, really want it. I think particularly in younger generations, you know, these people are living on their phones and they just won't go to a store that doesn't have contactless. So maybe you don't need to try to be something to everybody. Maybe this can be a specially branded card that's for, you know, digital natives. I think the other thing, we talked about the cleaned up merchant data, diverting call center, but also Apple Card defaults you to iMessage. So I think issuers can do that too. They can make it really easy if you have a question or a problem to just go straight to the chat, straight to the message. You can integrate it with iMessage or with Facebook messaging or whatever you want to do, but drive people to that that channel, which I think people would rather do anyway. They'd rather do chat than sit on a phone line with somebody. And so I think there's things about this that you know, that basically anybody could use, and they've kind of pointed the way to thinking about how we can focus on a particular type of consumer and a particular type of usage that doesn't have to be as expensive as a general purpose card that's designed to be for everybody. I mean, just as we have premium cards that are designed towards the business traveler or mass affluent, so we can have cards for people who are really into their phones.
Yeah, so, you know, we've talked about the benefits of Apple Card, and I'd like to sort of close with what Ondot is doing in terms of enabling incumbent payment card issuers to respond to what Apple has done. You know, there are over 1 billion cards, over 10,000 financial institutions, and I think payment card issuers know what they need to do, both to play defense and to play offense in terms of differentiating in this marketplace. So we've launched Card App, which is a product that provides Apple Card-like capabilities to financial institutions on top of existing payment rails today. So I think financial institutions know what they need to do to compete, and we've just made it possible for them to provide a solution in just a few weeks.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode, and I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Really appreciate your time.
It's been great to be here.